Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Monday Night Live chat show, and thank you so much for joining. Today, I have Chantelle Cornelius with me, who's a marketing expert, marketing guru. She's also a director of the Professional Speaking Association and has done a lot of work with small businesses, with individuals, and also larger businesses on helping them market. And marketing, of course, is the first step on selling. And if we don't sell anything, we don't have a business. So that's what it's all about, even though in the UK sometimes the word selling or marketing are dirty words. People did think that often business just turns up. Well, in the new normal, business is just not going to turn up. So we clearly need to be using all the equipment, all the electronics, all the virtual meetings that we possibly can. Chantelle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Derek. It's nice to be here.
Chantelle, shall we start with a little bit of history about you? I understand that you live in Newbury in Berkshire, which is a wonderful part of the world with where they breed racehorses and all sorts of fabulous things like that. You did an agricultural degree and now you're a marketing expert. I'm just wondering what the connection was between those two.
There's no connection at all, Derek. So I can't actually really remember why I did agriculture. I think I wanted to do it at the time, but got about two thirds of the way through the degree course and realized it wasn't what I wanted to do. And I actually spent more time in my final year riding horses. So decided to go and do horses full time when I left university. Planned to do it for just about a year and it ended up being 3 years. And after too many long hours of falling off and being kicked and bitten by other people's horses, I thought this is just crazy. And I went to look for, basically I was looking for kind of an admin job in an office, and was sort of spotted by somebody who ran a private training college in Oxford. And I did some temping for him. And after a while he said, would you like to be my marketing manager? And I said, but I don't know anything about marketing. And he said, I can teach you. And he did, because one of the courses that we ran there was the Chartered Institute of Marketing Diploma in Marketing. And I worked through that. And yeah, so that's kind of how I fell off a horse and fell into marketing.
Please, yeah, a riding instructor that falls off of horses, I find that a bit odd, but
It happens. I mean, the riding school horses, you don't fall off. It's the private owner's horses that they're a bit more scatty, that you can fall off a bit more easily. So and we often used to get sent the difficult horses and they go, oh yeah, the youngsters, they'll ride, they'll sit on them and deal with them. So not great.
Okay, on your LinkedIn profile, and we're going to talk about LinkedIn a bit more later, it says that you provided sales leads for men. What was that all about?
So I'd been working in a company that was kind of my dream job. I was working for a training company and then I was made redundant and I really struggled to find another job and I was getting a bit desperate and I was offered a job at a print company in Oxford that had a team of salesmen and they were all men. And the job was advertised as a sales and marketing executive. What they actually wanted was a secretary that would just look after the blokes. So these guys, they were selling, but they were basically looking after their existing customers. And each one would go out every week and go and talk to their existing customers, which is a brilliant way of doing marketing, by the way. But they'd come back and they'd produce handwritten reports and give them to me saying, can you type these up? And I'm like, I am not your secretary. This is not what I'm here for. So yeah, they were all blokes. It was quite an old fashioned company. I think I lasted about 18 months there and then thought, this is not what I should be doing. And that's when I went off and set up my own business.
I bet you were a bit scary. I watched you, as you described that, open your eyes and flash your eyebrows. And I imagine that you'd have done that at these blokes and they'd have been cringing. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I did. I started getting them trained in that if they put handwritten notes on my desk, I was not going to do anything with them. So
I can imagine. By the way, I love that poster behind your left shoulder about success. And this is what we're all about. And thank you for putting that up for us. So tell us about marketing. What do you do for people in the marketing arena?
So I specialise in working with coaches, consultants, trainers, so people who provide services rather than products and widgets. And most of the people I work with are really, really good at what they do, but they're not very good at marketing, or they don't like doing it, or they just don't know what marketing to do, because it's marketing keeps changing. And there are so many different marketing activities that you could do that a lot of people end up doing far too much of too many different activities, or they're not doing enough, or they're not doing enough in the right places. And a lot of people go through feast and famine, where they'll do a load of marketing, get some new business in, and then they get too busy to do any more marketing. So they stop, and then the work eventually dries up, and you end up on this kind of up down roller coaster, and it's exhausting, and it's not good for cash flow. So what I generally do to start with clients is actually put together a marketing strategy for them. So we get clear on, you know, what is it that they actually do, what makes them different. A lot of coaches especially don't know what makes them different to all the other coaches out there. So we really figure that out. We get clear on who their ideal clients are, and then we look at the best marketing to do for them, so that they can go away and actually put it into practice. And a lot of the time it's really about simplifying the marketing. So rather than trying to do 15 different activities a week, we maybe reduce it down to 3 or 4 that will actually work, because there's quite a small number that work really well. So
what are those 3 or 4 that work really well? I know that probably differs, but you know, for my business, if you like, as a coach and a business consultant.
So I have an ABC of marketing, and A stands for ask for referrals. So when you provide a service, people will work with you because they've been recommended to you. So, you know, if you're looking for a coach or a speaker, or even if you're looking for, I don't know, a therapist or a plumber, you're more likely to ask somebody for a recommendation and go with that recommendation than work with somebody you've never heard of.
Sure.
So asking for referrals. And there's a lot you can do to generate more referrals. So that's the first one. B is for business networking. So that's about attending events like this and meeting other people, but also speaking at events, because if you can speak at an event and people get a feel for what you talk about or what you do, again, they're more likely to trust you and then go, yeah, okay, can you help me? And C is for content. And this is where things like social media come in, because you could just stick to referrals and networking, but the content is useful backup. So for instance, if somebody is recommended to me, the first thing they'll do is they'll go and look me up online, like you've done. They'll go and look at my LinkedIn profile, and they want to see useful content. So if what you're putting out on social media or on your website in a newsletter is useful and valuable, they're more likely to then actually pick up the phone, because if they, you know, somebody might be recommended to me, but if there's nothing useful on my website, they're not even going to bother phoning me.
Sure.
So those are the ones that work.
Okay, that's great. And do you write the content for the clients?
I don't anymore. I used to write mountains of content, but I don't anymore. I write my own material because I love writing it, but I have a team of copywriters that we work with. Most of my clients these days, I just mentor them and show them what to do, and they do their own writing. I have a few clients where we still do the, you know, I have somebody who does the writing for them. But you know, equally, if I have a client who I'm mentoring and they don't like writing, I can recommend copywriters into them. And the good copywriters will get inside your head and they'll be able to write with your voice, so it sounds just like you speaking.
Okay. And we've got one or two people on here that work for larger companies like Ryan and that. It's clearly, they'll want to be able to show their bosses where they're getting their business marketing wrong and things like that. Have you got any tips for that? I know it's outside your normal area, but what would you say?
If it depends what the company does, but if it's still a service business, it's exactly the same, regardless of the size of the business. Exactly the same, because with services, like I said, people buy on trust. So you've got to build up trust. If you look at things like Amazon, where people are buying products these days, you're much more likely to buy if you've seen a review or a recommendation from somebody else.
Sure.
I bought a book on Amazon a little while ago, And I bought it because somebody I know through the PSA had actually written a recommendation for it. So that's why I bought it. So
I hope it was my book, Chantal, but...
It wasn't your book, Derek. No, afraid not.
Will Kintish's in that case. You reminded me of Will Kintish because you said no, like, trust. And that's one of his mantras from networking. That applies exactly the same to marketing, does it?
Absolutely. Well, networking is one of the best forms of marketing. So, yeah, absolutely. It's exactly the same. Yeah, definitely.
So how do you decide? How does someone decide if they trust me when they look on my website?
So if there are testimonials on there, if there are written and video testimonials, that helps. If there are videos of you speaking or videos of you giving away advice, that's really useful. So on my website, I've got any chance I have of being filmed and videoed, I jump at it and then stick it on my website so people can watch it. But it's also the written content. So if you're giving away advice, people are going to trust you. Whereas if your website just says, I'm great, but I'm not going to give you anything, you've got to pay me if you want something, they're not going to trust you.
That's the law of reciprocity, isn't it? And we talked about that a lot, and we all know that works. Give things away and things come back from different directions, but make sure you give it unconditionally, not with a catch.
Yeah.
So fabulous. So if you were advising me or Will, who you know, to upgrade our marketing, what would you say?
Without having looked at what marketing either of you are doing,
okay,
I would say, so if we follow the ABC, I would say, so for instance, with referrals, make sure that every time you get a referral, you're thanking people for it properly. So every time I receive a referral, I send a handwritten thank you card, regardless of whether or not it turns into business. And I've actually had people phone me to say thank you for the thank you card. And then if a referral actually turns into business, then I send a something even better. So I might send champagne or flowers or theatre tickets, or I take clients out for dinner to say thank you. So there's nothing worse than if you give somebody a referral and they don't say thank you to you, you're much less likely to give another referral. So it's, you know, and I like doing things that are personal. So don't send a bottle of champagne to somebody who doesn't drink. Don't send chocolates to somebody who's diabetic or on a diet. You have to do a bit of hunting. Yeah. So that's the first one. On the networking side, it's about the reciprocity again, about being generous. You know, don't go to a networking event just thinking, right, what's in it for me? Look at who else is in the room or on the screen and think about how you can help other people, who you can connect to who, and do it that way. But also definitely think about, I mean, for me, speaking at events works much better than just turning up and networking. So I measure my marketing every 3 months, and I did it about 2 weeks ago. At the moment, 53% of my current clients are my clients because they've heard me speak at an event, and that's creeping up. So I would do both for all of you, do a bit of measurement of your marketing, look at where your clients have come from, do more of what's working and less of what isn't.
Now that's the same for everybody, whether they're speakers or not. So I know people might be saying on this Zoom, well, I'm not a speaker, so I can't speak. But I know someone like Ryan makes presentations at conferences to his own company. And of course, the more you speak, the more exposure you get, whether that's internal or external. Absolutely, absolutely right.
Yeah. I learned a long time ago before I did. I mean, I went to Toastmasters years and years ago because I had no idea how to do public speaking. Discovered that I really enjoyed it, so started using it to promote my business. And then somebody said, "Oh, you should join the PSA, the Professional Speaking Association, and get really good." So I learned to do the speaking first, and then became a speaker, if you like. So yeah, you don't have to be a speaker to use speaking to promote your business.
And it's Speaking is not very difficult, actually. If you simplify it, that's the real thing. People make it too complicated, too much information in the middle. Don't use the power of three at the beginning and the power of three at the end. And if anyone wants a copy of my book, Presenting Phenomenally, I will send you a PDF. Just email me, guys. It's pretty simple. You just have to be well prepared to get over those nerves and just go for it. Chantel, can I turn to old marketing, old-fashioned marketing, like brochures and business cards or whatever you would call old-fashioned marketing? What about that?
Very, very important these days. I think I'm going to show you something now.
Yes, please.
Look at this. Sneak preview. This is this year's Apple Tree Christmas card.
Oh, wow.
I know, it's August and I have Christmas cards. It's very sad. I'm a big fan of Christmas cards, although I don't send this to one of my clients because she's Buddhist and she doesn't do Christmas. But inside I have them printed, so I've got my little Apple Tree logo down there, the black and white version. I ordered them in the summer because the company I buy them from do really good deals during the summer. The sooner you order them, the cheaper they are. So I've now got a box of 100 or so cards sitting in the cupboard. I've got a note in my diary for mid-November to pull them out of the cupboard and start writing them. So I handwrite every envelope. I stick stamps on them. I handwrite notes into each card. And each one will say something like, thanks for your support this year, or it's been great working with you, or, you know, looking forward to next year or whatever. So old-fashioned marketing, it works because not many people do it anymore. So if you can think of something that's a bit different, and Will's put something in the chat box about sending cupcakes. I think cupcakes are great. So I've done that as well. I sent a box of cupcakes to a client who, it turns out, he doesn't drink. So I couldn't send him a bottle of champagne as a thank you. So I sent him cupcakes. So you can be a bit creative and a bit different. I've written two books, and so I regularly send copies of books to people as thank you gifts, or, you know, as one of them giant business cards. So yeah, absolutely, send things through the post. Do old-fashioned things. I don't think brochures work anymore because they go out of date a bit too quickly. But, you know, if you want to get somebody's attention, send them something a bit different. I have a penguin on my desk as well, so just all sorts of fun stuff. You know,
people penguins, do you?
Sorry?
You send people penguins.
I don't know. I was sent this one. But just kind of be a bit creative. And, you know, if you can find something that is, so my business is called Apple Tree. So I've got a box of plastic apples on the desk as well that I can send to people. You know, have a bit of fun with what you can send that makes people smile or remember you. I've got coasters and all sorts around here that I've been sent, you know, things that stick around that people find useful. Definitely useful to send stuff, do the old fashioned stuff. There's also a really, really useful old fashioned marketing tool. It's called a telephone. It's one of these. And they don't get used enough these days. You know, I have clients say to me, oh, I've been trying to get hold of this potential client for the last 3 months and they don't answer my emails and they won't respond to my LinkedIn messages. I'm like, just pick up the phone. And, you know, you're not always going to get through to somebody, but leave a message. I was taught to always, always, always leave a message and always tell the person when you will phone back. So if you get their answer phone, it's, sorry, I couldn't talk to you today. I will phone you on Friday. And then phone them on Friday, because again, even if you can't speak to them, you leave a message saying, well, it's Friday. I said I'd phone you on Friday, so that's what I'm doing. That adds to the trust. You know, if somebody goes, oh, okay, he said he was going to phone on Friday and he has, he does what he says he's going to do. Useful tick, tick, trust box. Works really well for people you've never even met. So yeah, pick up the phone, take it offline as quickly as possible, as soon as possible with prospects.
Absolutely.
Will's on the phone. Yeah. You better not be phoning me, Will.
Phoning me. Will and I are having a quick chat while we're doing this, as we did this morning, as we do three or four times a week, or swap text messages, or swap WhatsApps. I think text messages work really well with clients, actually better than emails, because everyone's snowed under with emails and WhatsApp. I don't know what you think about that, but
I think it really depends on the client. So I like to find out how my clients like to be communicated with. I hate it when clients are WhatsApping me. I had a client texting me at 8:30 this morning. But my general rules are I don't work. I only work between 10 in the morning and 5 in the evening. And my clients know this, but it was just a client just sending me a quick message saying something for us to think about later on. But it's really important to find out how your clients want to be communicated with, because if you're sitting there going, right, well, I only do email, therefore clients, you're just going to have to deal with it. Well, your clients won't stick around for very long.
Good job I'm not a client of yours then, because I often text Tony or Will at about 6:30 in the morning when I'm at my best, and one or two other people have to suffer my WhatsApps as well, which are flying around.
That's fine. You know, I would rather, if a client suddenly has a brilliant idea or wants to ask me a question, I would rather they text or WhatsApp or email while they're thinking about it. They know that they're not going to get a response straight away, but they know that, because sometimes, you know, it's easier just to fire it off, and that's fine. I'd rather they did that than sit on it for 3 hours and forget about it. They just know that I won't necessarily respond to them straight away. So.
Sure. Well, we're almost coming to the end of the recording, Chantelle, but I'm going to stop the recording in a minute and then throw it open to everybody to fire some questions at you. But before I stop the recording, one last tip for people watching this on YouTube or listening to the podcast.
As in one last tip for marketing?
Yeah, for marketing or for success, which you've got behind you. You're obviously a very successful businesswoman.
Well, two then, if you don't like marketing and you don't know how to do it, fine, get somebody to help you, because it can be a bit of a minefield. Saying that though, the next tip is look at how you can simplify it, because less really is more. You know, you'd be better off focusing all your effort on LinkedIn than doing LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, blah, 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 and spreading yourself too thinly. So if in doubt, simplify it, keep the message simple.
Okay, that was number one and number two, was it?
It was, yeah.
I was watching the chat. I was multitasking, not very well, looking at the chat box. Interesting. Ryan puts in the chat box. He says, since listening to some of these chat shows, he finds that short LinkedIn messages are more effective than emails to open doors and then with the old-fashioned phone call. Ryan's quite young, actually. I'm surprised he uses the phone. I think it was young people that didn't use the phone, actually.
But he's also right, because people will open up to you much more. You know, at the beginning of this year, I was saying to my clients, get on the phone and talk to your clients about what their plans are for the year and how they're getting on, and is there anything you can help them with? Well, then the you know what happened, and we all got locked down. And so everyone's plans got changed. So I'm saying to my clients, and actually all of you now is a really good time to just get on the phone and talk to your clients and say, how's it going? What's happening? Is it good, bad, ugly? What can I help with going forwards? And some people are just grateful to have somebody to talk to, and it's amazing what people will tell you. And then you've just got to really listen to what they're saying and think about how you can help them. So yeah, it's a good one.
It's unbelievable how many people won't use the phone and then get a bit grumpy because you don't respond to one of their emails, which is unclear probably. Anyway, Chantelle, thanks very much for joining us. And it's Apple Tree Marketing if anyone wants to get in touch with you, I believe.
It is, yep. Yes, thank you very much for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you very much indeed. That's brilliant.